Welcome to The Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z. Welcome, everybody, to this week's episode of The Fade Route with D and Z. I am Z, and not much going on in terms of Thursday night this week, so let's look back on the week that was in the NFL and in sports. And here he is. I've known this guy since our days on Carousel Shoes, the last QB in St. John's history, flight crew through and through. What's up, D? How's it going?
Doing a lot better than Le'Veon Bell's doing right now.
Or Dak Prescott, or probably Jimmy G. But let's start with Dak Prescott on that one, since it was, you know, one of the most gruesome injuries you're going to see. At first, when he was down, right, I had the red zone on, and I thought that his foot just came out of his cleat. You know, it was just until I realized that some bitch was turned sideways. But you got to feel for the guy, you know. I mean, he was playing his ass off, and he's playing for a contract, and, you know, he really, you know, as the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, you're going to catch a lot of shit, and you're also going to get a lot of glory, and you never want to see a guy go down like that.
No, I saw it in Lifetime, and as soon as he hit the ground, I knew something was wrong, because he started, like, slapping at his calf. Almost because it was like hurting him, almost like it was like a cramp. And then I think he realized that, oh, my foot is crooked. Oh, and then he kind of started feeling the pain. And yeah, you definitely feel for the guy.
Yeah, compound fracture of the ankle, had successful surgery. He's going to be out 4 to 6 months. But next man up for the Cowboys, that man is the Red Rifle, Andy Dalton. And that's a good thing for them, you know? Yeah, Andy Dalton played very well for the Bengals, as well as can be expected. Got them to the playoffs. Never won a round, but, you know, he got them there and played very well. How far can you see Andy Dalton taking this Cowboy team? Just division title? Do you see them winning a round? Like, maybe wild card? Like, where do you see
the East? The East is so terrible that they should have relatively little trouble getting the division title. And depending on who they match up with in the first round, they could potentially win one game. I can't see them beating a team like the Packers. I can't see them even beating a team like the Buccaneers. But definitely playoff bound. And like you said, you know, Andy Dalton is a competent quarterback. I mean, got to give Dallas some credit for signing a veteran like him. He definitely has the ability to throw the ball. He's no slouch. He studies. He's never had weapons like this before. So it'd be interesting to see how he does in this offensive system.
Oh, for sure. And this is a memo to Mike McCarthy. Earth to Mike McCarthy. You have Ezekiel Elliott on your team. So here's what you got to do. Feed the beast. And that takes the pressure off of Andy Dalton right there. That should get them the division title. As far as who they match up with, you're 100% right. If they run into a buzzsaw, this team's out in the first round. But if they draw, you know, a wild card team like, you know,
Arizona, they could beat Arizona.
They could beat Arizona, absolutely.
They might be able to beat Seattle the next time around, you know. Yeah,
possibly. I mean, they could take it to the Saints. I really don't know.
Yeah.
Especially if Michael Thomas keeps punching his teammates.
Yeah. He killed me this weekend. But Dallas, number one offense in the league. Yards per game, they lead the league. So, you know, Mike definitely knows what he's doing offensively. Defensive side of the ball is a mess, though. An absolute disaster. And that prevents you from winning championships. That prevents you from winning games sometimes. But, you know, he's got to – you know, Dalton's going to have a stable of weapons, man. You got Gallup, you got Cooper, you got Zeke. Offensive line is not as good as it's been in previous years, but he's used to that in Cincinnati, so he'll be ready to roll with that. He doesn't turn over the ball. What is Dalton going to give you? He's going to give you 250 to 275 in yards, two touchdowns and a pick, or two touchdowns and no picks. That's what he's going to do. He's not the runner, you know. He can, but he's not. And he can throw the ball. He can put the ball wherever he wants. Anywhere he wants to on the field.
100%. Andy Dalton was a stud. He's getting up there in age now. He's, like you said, he's a competent NFL quarterback. And all you need right now with this team constructed the way it is a competent NFL quarterback to just
don't
steer
screw
the
it
ship.
Up.
Don't screw it up. Exactly.
Don't screw it up.
That's it. That's all he has to do. And if they feel like they really want to add another weapon at tight end, yeah, they have that guy Schwartz. I think Schwartz is his name. But Tyler Eifert is out there, man. He's got chemistry. He's all you have to do is call Jacksonville. I'm sure you can get him on the cheap.
They're not. I don't think they're gonna try, you know, to add anything else to this offense. They just really need to figure things out defensively. I think Van den Bosch is coming back, right? Van der Esch is coming back, and hopefully that solidifies things a little bit. It's not like they don't have talent; they have talent, but I don't know if they're out of shape or what. They just don't act like they're really giving 100% on every play.
Yeah, I mean, it's really strange, you know, especially, I mean, if you go back to it, they really should only have one win, and that should be last week against the Giants.
Yeah. They
have those
and
they real...
almost lost that game.
Right.
Down 14-0, I think, at one point.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants came out and they blitzed them, and, you know, kudos to the Cowboys for recovering and then not shrinking once they saw Dak Prescott leave on that on the stretcher there.
It's just crazy how, like, offensively they have to have such a great game for them to win, like, the game. Like, they have to be flawless, no turnovers, like, get over 400 yards, you know. They have to really take it to the team they're playing. If they're not, you know, scoring 30 to 40 points, they're not going to win.
It really is amazing, but you know what? When you have a high-octane offense like that, it's bound to happen. Speaking of high-octane offenses, or what we thought was going to be a high-octane offense, what the hell is going on in San Francisco? Who is the quarterback?
Did I tell you Miami's going to win that game?
We both had Miami. Kudos to us, man. We both had Miami.
We both had Miami. No, to be honest with you, I don't think he's healthy. Like, he just seemed like he was kind of, you know, pacifying his ankle, and his throws were way offline, and Miami just had it going on. And you think about it, Miami's playing COVID this weekend, the Jets, and they're going to get another win. So they're going to go to 3-3. That's not bad. You can't be upset if you're them. As far as San Francisco is concerned, you know, they're all jacked up because of the injuries on the defensive side of the ball. And now Jimmy G's hurt. I don't think there's a quarterback controversy, but I think at the end of the day, you're like, gee, dude, can you make some out passes? Can you just not turn the ball over to the other team?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that move that Kyle Shanahan did, I'm talking about the Eagles game, when he went from Mullins to Beathard, reeked of panic and desperation to the point where, I mean, Beathard got into the game again yesterday, and Beathard's not terrible. He's not great. But he's also, I mean, he's not terrible.
He's all right. I mean,
he's all right. Yeah.
He's all right. He's not making the money Jimmy G's making.
No, he's not making the money Jimmy G's making, but he's also not costing them the games that Jimmy G, you know, he's not making the errant passes. He's not screwing up the way Jimmy G and Mullins did. So
Jimmy G is just looking like a backup quarterback. And that's what he's looking like. He's just looking like a backup. Like, he's looking like a guy. Like, as good as Nick Foles has been playing and has played throughout his career, he's a backup quarterback. He's not a starter. He's not a guy that's going to play 16 games and get you the Super Bowl and win you a Super Bowl. He's a guy that you plug in and, look at what we're doing. We're playing so great. We're on a roll, and boom, we won. So I think San Francisco's learning that the hard way. I don't know what the coming weeks – they've got – a lot of talent. The guy, Brandon Ayuk, the wide receiver.
Ayuk, yeah.
Wow. Like, that guy is super talented. I think Deebo Samuel still needs to come back. He hasn't come back yet. They got a whole stable of running backs. I don't even think Coleman's even really played this year. But Mostert, Wilson, McKinnon, they got players. Kittle, probably the best tight end in the game right now, second best tight end in the game right now. So they got.
I say he's 1 and 1A with Travis Kelce. Yeah, 1 and 1A.
1A and 1B. Yeah, I think. Yeah. I think they're really talented on that side of the ball. Problem is their division, man. You gotta go up against the Cardinals, the Seahawks. The Rams. All those teams are playing good. Even the Rams. The thing with the Rams is that they've played nobody. They've just been beating up on the NFC East, but they have talent. I mean, they now are showing that they have 2-3 backs that can run the football.
True. You got to play who's on your schedule. You can't really fault the Rams for that, but it is crazy that somebody from this division is going to have to finish in last place. But, it's going to get down to it. We said it before. It's going to be a slugfest within that division. And as far as San Francisco goes, you kind of figured that they'd be out of it a little bit once all those guys went down. So I'm not saying you get a pass, but I understand.
Yeah, but you should be able to go to Miami and beat the Dolphins, for crying out loud. Come on. That's a joke. And they gotta be able to win games. I mean, they beat up, and that's the other thing you think about. The only two wins they have are against the Jets and the Giants. And those are not like those are more like JV teams than varsity teams. So
in high school.
Yeah. So maybe they got some more losses to come. I know this weekend they're playing the Rams, and we'll get into our pick segment later. But it might be getting ugly over in San Francisco.
It feels like it's getting late early. Absolutely. And speaking of former San Francisco 49ers, how about the triumphant return of Alex Smith to the field for the Washington Football Club? I mean, Haskins goes out with a stomach virus, and then Kyle Allen got a concussion, and then here you go. You got Alex Smith coming out here, and he actually didn't look too bad.
Oh, he looked terrible, dude. I mean, come on. I think he completed like 9 passes for 36 yards. He's terrified. I was terrified for him. I thought he was
gonna die. So was I. But at the same time, you know what? It's a feel-good story, man, and – in 2020, you take all the feel-good stories you can get. Now, whether or not he's actually going to do anything, you know, of note, that's a different story. You know, Kyle Allen could be back. Haskins could practice his way out of the doghouse. And,
I don't think it's safe to have him out there. And he was getting killed. Like, they were coming after him. And on every play, I thought his leg was going to snap.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, you feel for the guy, and it's just like, You never want to tell the guy, you never want to tell somebody that it's over. You kind of want them to come up, you know, come to that decision on their own. But dude, like, it didn't, as good as it felt, it still feels wrong. 100%.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know where he goes from here. And I think you're right. I think, you know, you came back, you proved to yourself, you can get back into the league. And you proved you can play, walk away while you can still walk. He walks with a hitch in his step, man. Like, it's not a pretty sight. And they weren't taking any mercy on him either. They're really coming after the poor guy.
No.
But one thing I just want to jump back real quick to the Miami game. You know, I don't think a lot's being said about Miami's defense. I think they have two really good corners that have potential in Xavier Howard and Byron Jones. I think they've got the start of something there, and you know their coach is a defensive guy, so I'm sure he's coaching him up. So I think, like I said, they have a chance to be 3-3 after this weekend, but they might hang around and surprise some people.
No, Miami's definitely going to lay in the weeds for a little bit, and there's an extra wild card this year. I mean, who knows? Depending on where they finish. They might sneak in. Who knows?
Washington's not surprising anybody. Washington is who we thought they were.
Oh, Washington is totally who we thought they were now, especially now that they're down two quarterbacks. But
they have a chance to win this weekend. They're playing the Giants.
Honestly, if Alex Smith is out there, we'll talk about
that. Yeah, we'll talk about it later. But they got a chance. I mean, but as far as Alex Smith goes, I mean, you're glad to see him out there. That he recovered from this injury, but I don't take any pleasure or any joy in seeing him and watching him play. If you think about how long he's been in the league, I think I'm pretty sure him and Rodgers got drafted the same year, And I think he was the number one pick, and Rodgers fell in the 20s. He's still around. I mean, it's a long time to be in the league, a long time to be a quarterback. And he's bounced around now, too. I mean, he started in San Francisco, then he's with Kansas City and kind of was the guy that was developing those teams. And then Pat Mahomes came and took them over the top. Now he's in Washington. I mean, you can't think his career is going to go much further than the Washington Redskins.
At this point, he's a custodian. He's a gatekeeper. He's the guy keeping the seat warm for the next guy. Whoever that may be, whatever team that he ends up on, that's going to be his role, kind of like in a Josh McCown kind of way. Like, he'll get you, you know, he'll start you a couple games because the rookie shits the bed or who freaks out like Sam Darnold did. And, you know, he'll get you a couple games. I don't know if he'll get you a couple wins, but he won't embarrass himself.
And you also wonder, like, what are their plans with Haskins? Like, are they going to trade him? Are they planning on keeping this guy? Like, I'm sure he's got some value out there. It's clear that he's not your future. So why even hold on to him much longer than you are?
That's agreed. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sure Chicago would take him, or even Miami might take him. Like, why not? If you're gonna get nothing for him, if you're gonna take him for like a fifth round pick maybe or a sixth round pick, you can't get more than that.
No, absolutely. If you're gonna take a flyer on somebody, sixth, seventh round pick, you know, you can do worse than Dwayne Haskins and Sam Darnold for that matter.
Oh.
I mean, you're going to have I could see him going, maybe getting traded to Detroit and being the heir apparent to Matthew Stafford. That
I don't think you can nominate him as the heir apparent, but you can say, hey, let's see how it goes. Like, kind of like what Blake Bortles did. He went over to L.A. just to, like, learn how to play quarterback again. And I think now he's with Denver. They haven't cut him yet. But it's like, yeah, let's just see how it goes. Maybe even Jacksonville. Why not? Just go, you know.
Yeah, why not? I mean, as long as the Giants, the Jets, and the Falcons exist, the Jaguars are not getting anywhere near Trevor Lawrence, so you kind of have to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Falcons, major shakeup this week. You know, Dan Quinn is gone. Thomas Dimitrov is gone. I didn't think they would go scorched earth, but Arthur Blank, enough was enough,
pissed.
Man. Enough
they
was enough.
They asked him, like, why'd you move now? He's like, we haven't won a game.
I can't blame him.
You know, I mean, everybody was lauding how much they love Dan Quinn. And I remember Dan Quinn with my days with the Jets, and he was an awesome guy, really, really nice guy. But it's the defense that's killing them. I mean, they're top 11 offensively. Like, they're scoring 3 touchdowns a game. But you got to stop people, man. You got Todd Gurley, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Matt Ryan, and you're not winning games? What's it going to take for you to win games? I don't know when they're going to win a game.
Honestly, you know what? If falling on the football in the Dallas game, and they'd already
have one at least. I can't figure out how they don't win games. I don't get it. I don't understand where they only scored 16 points this weekend. Like, where are we misfiring here? Why are we having empty possessions? Why aren't you completing all your passes? What are we doing?
Yeah, well, it really makes you wonder. Quinn's gone. Dimitrov is gone. Are they going to move from Matt Ryan?
I think it's time. I think it's time. I think at the end of the year, you see where his value is because, you know, if Jimmy G is still effing up over in San Francisco, maybe Kyle Shanahan will take Matt Ryan. He's a veteran quarterback. You can definitely – there's value there. You do.
If Cam walks, would the Patriots? I mean, the Patriots would be, I'm sure, in on him. If Cam doesn't resign with them,
you know, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't know how Bill views Matt Ryan. I don't know if he finds him in such high regard, or he covets him in any way, because he's not a guy that's gonna get you over the top, right? Cam Newton's an X factor. And I think Bill knew that when he was getting him. Like, he's bringing a dimension to this team that we've never had. He's a former number one pick. So is Matt Ryan, I believe. But, you know, he's a stud athlete. This guy's an athlete with something to prove. You getting Matt Ryan really on the backside of his career, I don't know if Bill's really interested in that. You know, if he like think of it this way, if Matt Ryan's not winning with Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, and Todd Gurley, he's not going to win with the assortment of players the Patriots are putting together.
True. But at the same time, the same way Cam Newton had something to prove, Matt Ryan's going to have something to prove. And it makes you wonder, like, with Aaron Rodgers is here. A perfect example. Aaron Rodgers is playing like he has a chip on his shoulder. And if Matt Ryan could somehow get a chip on his shoulder, he could be very dangerous. So you never take it. I mean, maybe Matty Ice will finally show up. It's an ironic nickname.
I mean, it's definitely – I'm not going to say it's not – it's possible, but – you know, you talk about Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the Green Bay Packers essentially drafted his replacement. Like, he's training his replacement right now. And so for him, he's fired up because he feels like he's got time left. But he's also probably auditioning for his next job. Like, and Matt Ryan should feel that urgency right now. He should have felt that urgency 2 weeks ago when his team was 0-3. So if at 0-5, you still need a fire. Or you need I just don't see. I mean, I never was a Matt Ryan fan. Boston College, you know, never thought he was that great. But statistically, he's actually pretty good. Like he's Hall of Fame, borderline Hall of Fame good.
You know who you just described there, Tony Romo.
Big change.
You know, just good enough to get you beat. Phillip Rivers, just good enough to get you beat. Matthew Stafford, he's just another guy. He's part of the Jag Corps at this point. He's just another guy.
But see, I think I think you put Matthew Stafford in a different uniform, I think he has a better career. Tony Romo is actually a great athlete. Like he's a good golfer, he's a good basketball player, he's a good everything. You know, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, the jury's out. I mean, we'll find out. I think it's a good idea for the Falcons to cut it down, shut it all down. So you ship out Matt Ryan, you get what you can for Julio Jones too, build around Calvin Ridley, and as silly as it sounds, Todd Gurley, because you got him. Like if he can get through this year without getting hurt, he's putting up phenomenal numbers. He's scoring like 2 touchdowns a game. Like he's doing everything they're asking him to do.
Oh, yeah, Dirk Cutter is scheming very well for Todd Gurley, and it makes you wonder where it's actually kind of falling apart. Because if you're getting that aspect of the game going, it can't just be the Julio Jones.
No, it's the defense. The defense is lousy. It's awful.
No, but I mean, I'm talking about offensively. That you can only muster 16 points
at a clip. I think the last – it's not that it's all – it's because Julio Jones is hurt. I think because Julio's hurt, right, defenses are playing them a little differently. Like they're doubling Ridley now, you know. So he's not getting anything. Where when Julio's on the field, they're doubling Julio, so Ridley's going nuts. And they don't incorporate the tight end as much as they need to. They incorporated the tight end a lot last year. They incorporated him so well that he got a new job in Cleveland. Like so, you know,
it's like peace out. I'm gone.
Thanks a lot. Like the whole Peyton Manning thing. Like Peyton Manning put through so many people's kids through college. Ask Adam Gase. And they're in a tough division, man. They got to play the Bucks. They got to play the Saints. They got to play Carolina. Carolina won, and we talked about that. I was like, watch Carolina win this game. Watch them come out and win this game and punch these people in the face. Robbie Anderson.
Break up the Carolina Panthers, man. Robbie Anderson is – I mean, do you think the Jets want that one back?
I don't know what the Jets want back. Speaking of the Jets, they cut their ties with their overpaid running back yesterday, but it was official today. Ding dong, bell is gone.
Well, I mean, you knew it was going to happen once he starts doing that passive aggressive crap on Twitter where he's liking the tweets about, you know, oh, get Bell involved in the play, in the game plan and all this stuff. And it's – I don't want to side with Adam Gase on this one. I don't like the man. I really don't think he's a good coach. You
invite him over for dinner?
I don't think I'd invite him over. No. Like, if he was bringing Peyton Manning, yeah.
But here's the thing with Bell. I don't like Gase. I don't like Bell either, to be honest with you. But – I get where Bell's coming from, right? You're losing. You were brought here. You're being paid all this money. You're not the focal point of the offense. You're not getting the ball. Now you're hurt. You're coming back from injury. They want to ease you back in the offense. I can see how that's frustrating. But at the end of the day, it's like, this was the team that paid you, came out of nowhere and paid you. Like, nobody else is paying you this. They came and paid you. And this is how you're going to leave. You're not going to talk to the media. You're just going to skedaddle. And then Adam Gase, too, little coward, doesn't talk to the media about the Bell, about releasing Bell. Let's look at it this way. The Jets took one of the most productive running backs in NFL history, and they reduced him to not even being able to trade him for a seventh-round pick to the point where they had to cut him. That's what the Jets did to the most, one of the most prolific backs in NFL history. The fact that he's only averaging 3.3 yards per carry, that's a punt. It's a punt.
Yeah. Well, my thing is this. Le'Veon Bell did this to himself when he sat out that year with the Steelers. He set this up to where teams are now going to openly question his character. Because if it's all about the money with you, you better damn well perform. It doesn't matter. Like, you're going to dance in the hole. You better be ripping off 8 to 10 yards, man. Because you know what? When it goes south, people aren't going to give you the benefit of the doubt. And the Steelers are looking great.
The Steelers are looking great. And they were even talking about how the Steelers might take him back. I don't believe that. I think his landing place is like, you know, maybe Chicago, Tennessee, Minnesota could probably use him now that Cook's hurt. It'd be hilarious if he went to the Patriots because they would offer him the bare minimum since the Jets are paying his salary. But, you know, it comes down to what we were kind of talking about the Falcons. It's like Le'Veon Bell was with Ben Roethlisberger. He was with Antonio Brown, and they never won. So what made you think that you bringing him to New York, he was going to win with you? Like, I don't see how you thought that was going to equate to, you know, this dynasty. And he's 28 years old, and at the time, I think he was 26 or 25 or whatever he was. But what was the mindset there? Like,
well, to be fair, it wasn't these guys. It was Mike Maccagnan who went and spent like a drunken sailor, and then they went and fired Todd Bowles, brought in Adam Gase, and then Mike Maccagnan got thrown out on his ass. So clearly it's a, you know, Joe Douglas is putting his stamp on this team, and Adam Gase is, you know, trying to cling to whatever's left of his job.
It wasn't a good marriage from the beginning, because as soon as they signed him, even Gase was like, I didn't really want this guy. Like, I wasn't interested in him. And it's just like, You see how Gase destroys careers. Like, look at how well Tannehill is flourishing right now. He's got some of the best numbers since becoming the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. And this is all after leaving Miami. So what made you think that, oh, Sam Darnold and Le'Veon Bell was going to be this great combination? Who's Darnold throwing to? You know, at least in Pittsburgh, there are people – screaming down the field wide open, where, you know, teams had a plan for the three B's, man. They had a plan for everybody. Now it's just like, we don't even really worry. We're not even really worried about Le'Veon Bell. How about the guy never had over 100-yard game? He never broke off a run of more than 17 yards. Sam Darnold ran for 40 yards a couple of weeks ago and scored a touchdown.
He has the longest rush of the year for the Jets.
Break one free? In 2 years, you couldn't find a hole?
Yeah. No, well, that's the thing. The hole, right, was a canyon, and it was filled with the other team. So the offensive line has definitely been an issue with the Jets. It's still an issue with the Jets, but the Jets have so many issues right now that, you know, you can't even pinpoint one as priority.
No, it's a house, and all the pipes are leaking. And everyone's calling for Gase to be fired. I don't want him to be fired. I think he should have to stay there. I don't think the Jets have fired a coach in the middle of the season since like 1975 or 1976. I don't fire him. Leave him. I think the only reason why they let go of Bell was like, oh, we just don't want to deal with him. But, you know, there's no point. Who wants to deal with this team? Like, who would want to even coach this team?
No, at this point, Joe Judge and Adam Gase are in the same boat, but clearly, like, it's tipping towards Adam Gase. You know, like, he's the there's a hole and he can't plug it. Joe Judge with the Giants, he can definitely plug some holes, and, you know, they're playing a lot better. And I don't know, Joe Douglas might just keep him there to tank it. He might realize that, man, this team's going nowhere. Might as well – this guy is a terrible coach. He's got the reverse Midas touch. Everything he touches turns to shit.
You just got to question, like, the ownership. Like, if Charles – I think it's Charles Johnson is the owner, the GM right now. If he was the GM of a Fortune 500 company, he'd be fired right now. He'd be let go. He's running this thing, like, terrible. It's just terrible. It's a clown show. Yeah. They're a laughing stock. It's a joke. It's a joke. No. And this weekend coming up against Miami, this is maybe one of maybe two or three chances to actually get a W this year. So everybody in that room better understand this is the Super Bowl this weekend, or this is your AFC championship game. And they better come to play, because Miami's not messing around. Miami is not messing around.
No.
We've talked about it every week. I don't know how you fix it. And it seems like every time we talk about the Jets, we don't think it could get worse, and it gets worse, so much worse. The wide receiver they signed to be their number one guy, Perriman, hasn't even been on the field yet.
Yeah.
He can't even get on the field. He can't even play. Mosley, the highest played defensive player, opted out of the season. The highest played offensive player, Le'Veon Bell, just got cut, not traded. Cut. So now what? What does Sam do?
Well, if I'm, you know, I heard an interesting argument today that you keep Sam in place just in case you don't get the number one pick. And then, you know, Sam Darnold's going to feel really great about that he was a second choice to a friggin' college kid. And he's really going to want to play hard for you. If I'm Sam Darnold, I call my agent and I say, get me the hell out of here now. I don't care if it's the CFL.
He's hurt. He can't play. Flacco's playing again this weekend.
Oh, Joe, why?
You know, why come back? And he's like, well, you know, I want to prove that I'm a starting quarterback in the league, but I also got five kids at home. It's like, oh, geez, Joe.
It's Drew Brees syndrome.
Oh my gosh, it's gonna be. But yeah, trade him. I mean, trade him to Atlanta. Maybe Atlanta takes him. I think that's a great idea for them to start over. They'll take Darnold. They'll have Ridley. Trade Julio somewhere. Try to get a running back and receiver combo or some draft picks. But Sam's just gonna stay there and get killed. They were supposed to start a rebuild. It looks like the rebuild is going to have to start over again.
It has been a debacle.
Let me see. What to you is the worst? Is it the fact that they just cut Bell? Is it the fact that they let go of Robbie Anderson? Or is it the fact that they have their best defensive player opted out this season?
Oh, that's a tough one, to be honest with you. And you left out Jamal Adams, too. Thank you for doing that. Let's not forget
the first guy that took ship, Jamal Adams. What was the biggest...
Well, the thing is with Jamal Adams is that he actively recruited Le'Veon Bell. So one headache created the other. Honestly, the one that's biting him in the ass the most right now is Robbie Anderson. Just because you had him, he played well. He had chemistry with Darnold. And now
he's like the number six or seven in receiving yards in the league currently.
Watching him, like watching his career and seeing this, I wouldn't have imagined that, to be honest with you. Like, Robbie Anderson was good. I didn't think he would. I don't know. Just his laissez-faire attitude. I didn't think he'd be able to reach the next level. And, you know,
he showed flashes when he's with the Jets, but, you know, he's talented. I agree with you. I never saw him as a top flight wide receiver, but he's got a guy. He's a guy that plays with a chip on his shoulder.
I'm getting hungry over here. Should have cooked up some dinner.
And if you're looking for a new cooking show to binge, check out As You Eat It on YouTube, hosted by me, Chef Z. I invite you into my home and show you what and how I cook when I'm off the clock as a chef instructor. You're going to learn fun recipes and creative methods to empower and inspire you in the kitchen and take it to the next level. Cook how you want to cook, eat how you want to eat, eat as you eat it. That's As You Eat It, available only on YouTube. AZ, You Eat It. Check it out, and let's get cooking.
I'll switch the gears a little bit to baseball. Yeah, the New York Yankees are sitting home. Hard to buy championships when everyone else is spending money like you are. That's the way I look at it. I think Tanaka's gone. I was listening to somebody on the radio. They're like, oh, it'd be great if Tanaka could give us 3 innings. It's like 3 innings. This guy is supposed to be like one of the best pitchers in the league. I mean, he's being paid that way. And you're hopeful that he gives you 3 innings? Good as that. I think Sanchez is gone. Got to trade Stanton, right? Can't keep that guy. I mean, even though he carried him in the playoffs, I mean, he hit some bombs. I mean, bombs. But this team is heavily flawed. See a team like Tampa, I think their payroll is over 100 mil, not even. And they might be going to the World Series.
They are putting on a show against the Astros. And you know what? It boils down to this. Pitching, pitching, pitching. And when you think it have enough pitching, get more pitching. The Mets are learning that now, because they thought they had a great rotation, and all of a sudden, you need to be prepared for guys either opting out or getting hurt. The Yankees, you know, they did not have anybody past Gerrit Cole. Tanaka was up and down. He's you know, at this point in his career, he's James Paxton cannot be trusted.
Jimmy P. And
I knew that when he was in Seattle. You know,
they signed that guy, it was like, who? What? Why? This guy can't finish his season?
No, absolutely not. He hasn't demonstrated it once.
Best
and then,
signing ever. Hap, you pitched today. What? Today?
My goodness.
Garcia get hurt? No. This was the plan all along. We just didn't tell you. Oh, great. I'm ready.
Well, what about when they initially brought him in? You know, he was a Red Sox killer, and he got murdered by the Red Sox. So, you know, oh, we're going to start game one, Jay.
Where's my glove?
Against who? Oh, I'm going to throw right-handed today because I can't do this right now. But, you know, they have some young guys. They have Montgomery. They have Michael King was very impressive this year. Garcia, you know, I don't know. He's a slight guy. So who knows if he's going to be able to go all year. I mean, who knows? Clark Schmidt, they're high on him. But they need pitching. They need, you know, you can only go as far as your pitching is going to take you. Yeah, home runs are great. Home runs are absolutely fantastic. But you know what? You need to be able to diversify your offense, and you need to outpitch the opposition. Gary Sanchez, vaya con Dios, you are not worth anything right now, and they got to get rid of you. Like when Kyle Higashioka takes your spot, a 30-year-old rookie takes your spot, you're done,
Gary,
bro.
Did you get me Gatorade?
And you have this is lukewarm. Take it back. Yep. And they're redundant. Their team is just redundantly built. All completely right-handed except for Hicks and Gardner.
That was the best signing ever, Hicks.
You have
Let's lock him in because so many fucking teams want this guy.
7 for $70 million. I can't – you know, they got to be regretting that one. But an overly right-handed team with, what, 5 DHs? Sanchez, Voit, Judge, Stanton, and Andujar. Five DHs. There's only one.
They better hope that the National League takes on the DH next year so they can trade one of those guys. Because if they don't, I don't know who they're going to trade. I don't know how they're going to get rid of them. And you talk about pitching. Where are they getting the pitching from? What, Herman's going to come back? Is Severino going to come back? Is that who you're expecting? Or are you expecting them to go out and sign guys?
No, Luis Severino is garbage. No, Luis Severino is the bullpen arm that they're missing. I think that he is going to, you know, he can only go in about 1 to 2 inning stints. If anything, he might be an opener for you. Great. Perfect. The Yankees have been high on Mike Minor for the past 2 years. I can see them going after Mike Minor.
Are you serious?
Mike Minor. Yes. Yes, Mike Minor. They've been trying to get Mike Minor for like 3 years now. This could be the year. and he'll come cheap. That's the whole thing. The Yankees are concerned, you know, they're concerned about the purse strings because
no, they're worried about the luxury tax too.
But yeah, that too. But you know what? You wouldn't be near the luxury tax if you didn't take on Stanton's contract. I can't feel bad for you about that one. So you know what? Maybe you float him. You see what you can get. You probably need to get a few more pitching.
Nobody's
taking
on that contract.
So maybe Stanton. No, thing. You're gonna have to eat it. You're gonna have to eat a percentage.
More than 65% of it.
I think 75%. It's 75 to 80% is probably gonna have to get paid.
But yeah, no one's taking it. And the only saving grace
in terms of prospects
is the division, right? Because the Red Sox are rebuilding; they're gonna be terrible. And the Rays are the Rays. They make the World Series once every 10 years. Toronto is up and coming. They got a lot of young guys. They also need pitching. They have competent hitters and ball players. They just don't have pitching. But it kind of goes back to what I talked about before. Right. It's like, you know, when the Yankees were winning championships, the only people spending that kind of money. Now everybody's spending that kind of money. So now you're in the market with everybody. It's not like only the Yankees are going to pay you. No, the Angels will pay you. The Red Sox will pay you. Texas will pay you. Everybody's opening their checkbook. So now it's more of an even playing field, and you're going to go to the place where, you know, not for nothing, but why is anybody – Garrett Cole's coming here because he loved the Yankees as a kid and he wanted to play in Yankee Stadium. Okay, it's great, but not everybody looks at it like that. You see Mike Trout. Mike Trout grew up a Yankee fan. He's loving L.A. right now, and they don't even win games.
No. Yeah. It's really hard to have that kind of appeal when you also have that extreme pressure. So it's one of those things that you really – like Garrett Cole, you really got to want that. And a guy like Trevor Bauer, I don't see that. Never mind the fact that Bauer and Cole hate each other. That is a very interesting thing that makes me want the signing to happen, just to see Garrett Cole and Trevor Bauer try to beat the shit out of each other.
Garrett Cole was not unbeatable this year. I mean, he had stretches where he was dominant and amazing, and he played very well in the playoffs. Very good, very good. But there are times he looked human. And, you know, this is his first time, you know, in the American League East and you know, in this division and playing. And we're probably not going to have fans next year either. And we're going to probably go through some kind of, you know, schedule adjustment. But, you know, and guys never had any arm issues, right? So, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. So, like, the first thing we did, well, the question we were posing is, like, how do you fix the Yankees? And my answer is, I don't know. The things I would think about is, you know, trying to float Stanton, try to trade that guy. I know you were talking about getting rid of Sanchez. I don't know who would take him and what they would actually give for him. I don't see a lot of pitchers out there to go sign or go trade for. I think Tanaka's gone. We talked about Severino. So I'm not so impressed.
But one thing is for sure, young guys.
Who's the one guy that keeps coming up and they keep sending back down for some freaking strange reason? Cliff Frazier? Is that his name? Yeah, keep bringing this guy up and sending him down. The guy's a great player. If you're not going to play him, trade him. Get something for him because he could play. The guy, you tell me he's not better than Brett Gardner? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Brett Gardner's playing for the Yankees for his whole career because he can't play anywhere else. Like, nobody wants Brett Gardner on their team.
Yeah. No. Brett Gardner is done with the Yankees, and the only problem is that you're removing another left-handed bat. So what needs to happen is, for number one, they can't lose DJ LeMahieu.
He's the only real hitter on this team. Right?
He's a balanced baseball hitter. Yes. Yes. DJ LeMahieu, they have to back up the truck for this guy. And as far as you know, I heard this idea of trading Voit for pitching and then moving LeMahieu to first. That's a disservice to DJ LeMahieu. Like, yeah, granted, first base is, you know, it's still an important position. His versatility between second and third, I think, is better served than putting him at first base because he can pick the ball. You know what? Gio Urshela, Miguel Andujar, thanks a lot, guys. Pick up a first base.
Nah, Gio Urshela.
Learn how to play the position.
I don't even know. It's funny how he starts to play good now that he's on the Yankees. Like, he was terrible on Toronto. Like, he's not a good baseball player. He shines because of the people around him. It's just like, he's okay, like the, yeah, let's give this kid something to hit because otherwise we got to pitch to Judge, yeah, Stanton, and DJ LeMahieu. It's kind of like the Jeter thing. It's like, oh, Jeter's, yeah, so great. Jeter was the only person they could try to get out on the fucking teams because you had Tino Martinez, Paul O'Neill, Bernie Williams, Jose Canseco, Cecil Fielder. He had all these guys coming up. Let's try to get Jeter out. Let's throw him fastballs. Let's try to get this guy out.
But the Yankees need to somehow get more left-handed. And, you know, like all the guys who are available, they're all right-handed with the exception of one guy and his position's taken, and that's Didi Gregorius. I mean, the Yankees sorely missed Didi Gregorius this year, not just because of a left-handed bat, but he definitely brought something in that clubhouse. And Gleyber Torres, shortstop, left a lot to be desired.
Second baseman, and that took him out of his element. You know, people were saying he didn't play good this year because of, you know, the shortened season and everything. It's like, no, it's because he doesn't play that position, man. And that messes up your whole flow. Like, no. He's a second baseman. He doesn't need to go out there and be worrying about throwing the ball from the hole, trying to grab it. Like, you're ruining this guy, and he's really good. You could trade him.
Glaber was
stud pitching. I think they had a chance to do that with the Mets. The Mets wanted him, and the Yankees wouldn't give him up, and they were willing to trade, I think, one of their big guns. I don't know if it was Syndergaard or if it was DeGrom, but I know that they coveted him at one time.
Oh, I mean, he is a coveted prospect. Schmidt and Duhar and Michael King is really, you know, he has kind of bloomed a little bit. And Davey Garcia, those guys, I would want any or all of them in a trade. And you know what? Throw in Clint Frazier, too. Those six guys, if I get two of those guys, maybe you're getting my stud pitcher. Because you know what? They're major league ready and they're going to perform. But on the Yankees, like, I don't know what Cashman is doing. And he really needs to take a bullet here. He really needs to come out and say, I screwed this up and I need to fix it. Because I know he won't say it. But at the same time, you know, we can see it. The proof is in the pudding, man. We can see it. We have eyes. Don't try and snow me and tell me that, you know, this team is any better than it was last year or 2 years ago. It's not. It's more right-handed. Which is, you're playing in Yankee friggin' Stadium. Why do you have all these right-handed hitters? Like, it doesn't make any sense. This design is flawed. Own it. Fix it. It's your job or it's your ass. If I was the owner of the Yankees, if I was Steinbrenner, I would call him into the office and say,
Hey man.
this has been a great run. Hey man. Hey Cash. You did a great job, but you know what? Give me a fucking World Series.
In the American League East
now.
Boston still needs a manager, I believe. I don't see Cora going back there. I don't even think they would take the former manager of the Astros. What direction do you think they're going?
I don't know, man, to be honest with you. Alex Cora, like, he's going to get another job eventually. It's a question of when. AJ Hinch, I don't think he's the right fit for that team. But you also really can't go with a young manager either, because you're going to saddle him with a rebuild. They're going to fire him, and then you're going to bring in another guy. So it's really, I mean, at that point, just, you know, maybe promote the AAA manager or do something like that. Because, you know, at the end of the day, like, you're setting this other guy up to fail. Chaim Bloom, you're just going to set this new manager's new hire up to fail.
I'm not sure it matters, though. I'm not even sure it matters. Like, Boston is so terrible. It really doesn't even matter who their manager is.
I mean, Ron Reneke this year did an awful job. So he got canned. They're looking to rejigger the staff anyway. You know, maybe they take a chance on a guy like a George Lombard or a Marcus Thames or all the guys that don't get hired by the Tigers or the White Sox. You know, take a bunch, you know, bring in a bunch of guys for interviews and just kind of see who wows you. You know, at the end of the day, you're going to know your direction and you know what you know the kind of guy that you're looking for. Just cast a wide net. And it doesn't have to be a name. Kevin Cash wasn't really a name. And look at him now. So I mean, anything is possible. I heard something very interesting today that may influence the other chess pieces going on. The White Sox asked for permission to interview Tony La Russa for their vacant managerial position. Tony La Russa has not managed in
couldn't figure out if you, were, if you were drunk or dead.
Anything worth doing is worth doing right.
I think that's where he started, right? Didn't he start there?
He did. Yeah, he was. I mean, if you want to come full circle, great. Story. But
I don't really know.
Know
why they got rid of was it Renteria? Yeah. That was who was there. He was all right, and
yeah,
and the White Sox are stacked too. They got a lot of talent. I don't know what their problem was. La Russa.
Yeah,
you guys want
their White Sox? The White Sox are on
team.
The come, man. But
Me?
They also fought. Yeah. Right. Exactly. I think 1979 was when he first managed that team. But, yeah, they also fired Don Cooper. I mean, Don Cooper's been there forever. He was there, I think, when Gene Lamont was there. And that was in the early 90s. So Don Cooper is like a Chicago staple, along with, you know,
I think,
Field and an Italian beef
team.
Sandwich.
whatever. I mean, White Sox are good. Yeah. I actually thought they were going to be better in the bubble. I thought they were going to be able to, you know, advance and be a World Series contender just because they had a lot of talent. They have that guy, Lewis Roberts, is really good. They have a couple of pitchers that are really good. I thought they had a chance, but psych.
Hey, it's, you know, it was a weird year, and it's a year of experience for them, and they'll be better for it. They definitely – you know, the White Sox are on the rise in that division. The Twins are the Twins. The Indians are the Indians. And, I mean, if the Indians end up getting rid of Francisco Lindor, that's their death knell. So that moves them. That moves the White Sox above the Indians, in my opinion. And then the Royals and Tigers suck. If you've ever listened to a podcast and thought to yourself, hey, I can do this, then do I have the tools for you? If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. No specialty training, no specialty programs needed. Anchor will then distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. How cool is that? It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Go to anchor.fm and get started today. That's anchor.fm. What are you waiting for? Download the app.
The Clippers and the Rockets. Ty Lue seems to be getting a lot of interest from both teams. Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, not to be confused with Jeff Van Gundy, could possibly become the coach of the Rockets. Do you think either coach fits better in a different, you know, with a certain team?
Honestly, I don't know what Tyronn Lue is as a coach. I mean, he is to LeBron.
No,
Adam Gase was to Peyton Manning. I can't fairly assess Tyronn.
He's been around, though.
I can't do it.
He was on Doc's coaching staff with the – I believe he was on Doc's coaching staff when he was with the Magic. Like, he spent time as an assistant. It wasn't just, you know, he got the job in Cleveland and then, it just blossomed from there. I think he knows his stuff. I'm not trying to say, like, he's Phil Jackson or anything, but – I think he knows how to diagram an out-of-bounds play. I think he knows how to relate to players. He knows how to talk. You know, it's very, very important as an NBA coach to be able to communicate with your players and respect them, because the players run that league, not the coaches.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, Tyronn Lue, without LeBron, got fired 6 games into his season without him. So, you know, it's one of those things that you can't really – I personally cannot separate one from the other, because you only got 6 games. You know, I only got 6 real games. I need to see more before I can totally evaluate that. And you're throwing them in there with Russell Westbrook and James Harden or Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Like, I need to see more. I need to evaluate him. And I mean, with Jeff Van Gundy,
no,
Jeff Van Gundy already got fired by the Rockets. Like, oh yeah, because he's doing such a great job relating to people. I mean, look what he did with Dwight Howard. They hated
each other. Of the Magic.
So you really
when
think he's
going to
do
well
with egos? He did. He was. Absolutely he was. But he wears out his welcome quickly. He also went to the Pistons, and he wasn't that great with – he didn't do that well with the Pistons. So, you know, he's one of those guys. He has a limited shelf life. Like, he'll work you. I mean, it also happened in Miami too.
Well, that was
like,
that
he'll
was
work
that,
you,
that,
he'll work you, Pat and
Riley
then eventually they get
that
tired.
Team from him, and he stole that championship from him because that was his team. He developed that team. He made that team good. That was really people forget that. That was really wrong. And I also see that he's being considered for the Pelicans job too. That might be nice for him to coach Zion.
See, I like that better. I like that fit a lot better. Because Zion doesn't feel, I mean, he's a superstar, but he doesn't behave like a superstar. Like, he just, like, Dwight Howard, his ego got in the way of greatness.
Oh, Jeff is being considered for the Rockets job and the Clippers job, too. So both brothers are being considered.
That could be very interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, Jeff, how'd you do? What questions did they ask you?
If I could see which coach would do better and where with which team, right? I think Stan needs a big man, so I don't think him going to Houston would work out very well. I think he could do well with the Clippers, and I think he could do well with the Pelicans. I think the Clipper job would probably suit him the best. As far as Jeff Van Gundy is concerned, I think he could do the Rocket job, and I think Tyronn Lue would be good for the Clipper job, not the Rocket job.
I agree with Ty Lue. He's already there. There's continuity of voice. Just like same thing with Cleveland when he got promoted. There's continuity of voice there. Jeff Van Gundy hasn't coached in over a decade. Same thing with Stan Van Gundy. I don't know if it's necessarily a risky hire, but for me, the better fit is Stan Van with New Orleans just because of the style of ball that they play. I mean, Jeff Van Gundy with a small team, I don't know. I just don't see it working very well. But far be for me to ask, but what the hell did Mark Jackson do that he can't even get an interview? I mean, Mark Jackson was the predecessor to Steve Kerr. And if anything, Steve
really
Kerr should be sending him a Christmas
there.
Card.
You know, rumors are that he's not really like a GM guy, like meaning like, you know, the GMs are the like to take the coach and go like play golf and stuff like that. And he's also more of like a balanced team. He wants his players to play defense. He wants to run an old school offense. You know, he's not about chucking up threes. So.
So it kind of sounds like the game is passing
by.
It's
just that, you know, he could probably get a gig with a small market team, like maybe the Pelicans. But it doesn't even sound like he's like fighting for a head coaching job again either. I think he likes his role.
Yeah, I find that very interesting because, you know, he did a very good job in Golden State before they canned him. And, you know. He really.
Yeah, but you now see the potential that the Warriors had, and you're like, wow, he was kind of holding them back, you know? He did talk about them being like.
I can see that. You know,
Curry being the best, you know, teammates or best two guards ever in the history of basketball. And he turned out to be somewhat right, but, you know, you had that, and you couldn't really get out of the second round. This team broke the record for most wins in a regular season. I mean, so I don't know, but let's dive into our picks for this week. We've got some exciting games.
These are going to be. I mean, it's going to be a very good weekend, especially, you know, considering the fact that we have two more Monday night games. Where I think that's going to be a trend for the rest of the season. I really. You know, if we just move forward with that, I think everybody would be happy. And a lot of great matchups here and a lot of interesting ones just based on the events of this past week.
Cam Newton came off COVID reserve. He should play this Sunday. So will New England and Cam beat Denver?
If Cam plays,
I got New England winning regardless of who the quarterback is. New England had 2 weeks to prepare for Denver. Denver in trouble. okay, and then we have Houston playing Tennessee. Tennessee is hot right now.
I can't understand what happened with the Bills. You know, Tennessee hasn't been playing. They haven't really been practicing.
They had three practices in 16 days. Buffalo. Everything was done on Zoom, and they beat them like they hadn't practiced.
Yeah, exactly. So with that being said,
I'm actually going to take against Houston the Titans because Tennessee might be a little punch drunk over slapping the Bills around. We got Pittsburgh and Cleveland. Believe it or not, this is a big deal. You got the 4-0 Pittsburgh Steelers against the 4-1 Cleveland Browns. Who you got there?
I'm taking the Steelers. You know, this is the game. These are the kind of games that the Browns lose. Like they'll talk themselves up, they'll puff their chests out, and then they'll walk into the stadium.
I think this is also the first their asses game since kicked. The Miles the Rudolph situation.
Oh, yeah. Ben's a big dude. He's not going to do that to Ben.
Ben is a big dude. You think everything's all forgotten? I don't think there's going to be any chippiness, but I have Baltimore beating Philly.
No. Baltimore's going to beat Philly. It's not going to be that close. And, I mean,
I think
Carson Wentz still has only one wide receiver worth noting.
I think so. I think he's.
He's going to be there. It's not going to make that much of a difference, but it's going to impact the score. A little,
and then I think the Giants get their first win this weekend. They beat Washington.
We're in agreement. I think the Giants have been playing better. Now, the fact that they're playing the Washington football team with Alex Smith at quarterback, maybe Haskins will play, depending on whether or not that stomach bug actually went away. I mean, the Giants had a top 10 defense at one point. Granted, it was week three of the season, but Daniel Jones just needs to get the hell out of the way. If he does that, the Giants.
I have Minnesota beating Atlanta. This was a toss up for me. At first, I was like, Atlanta's got to get this W, man. Got to get this W. Then Minnesota played the Seahawks very tough last weekend. So at the last second, I was like, you know what? Minnesota's gonna pull it over Atlanta.
I'm taking the Vikings just for the simple fact that last week impressed me to a degree. Kirk Cousins still is not playing well. If Alexander Mattison has a game like he has
definitely out
this past week, they'll be A-okay. I don't know if Cook is definitely out, but he tried to play, and then he ended up on the sideline. So with a groin pull, I wouldn't risk it anyway. No. Dude, he just rolled up on it. My ball.
Detroit, I got Detroit beating Jacksonville. This was another toss-up.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely tough. I'm going to take the Lions as well. I mean, it's going to be close.
No,
it wouldn't surprise me if the Jacksonville Jaguars won.
I mean, you would think Detroit had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. You'd think they would, you know, win. In Indianapolis against Cincinnati.
You hope.
Yeah.
I got the Bengals taking this game, and Philip Rivers looks old. He looks shot, and Burrow looks like a legit NFL quarterback because he is a legit NFL quarterback.
But I'm still going to take Indianapolis just because their defense is really good. So I think their defense will give the Bengals some problems. I'm actually taking the Carolina Panthers over the Chicago Bears.
So am I. I really like what the Panthers are doing. Yep. Matt Rhule is proving himself to be an NFL head coach. And, you know, Bridgewater to Robbie,
like it's working.
It's a yeah, thing. It seems like it's actually really it's happening, out. And it's fantastic.
I think, as we spoke about earlier, I think the Dolphins are going to beat COVID.
My only question is, how many touchdowns is Ryan Fitzpatrick going to throw light for? My money's on four right now.
He's a former.
I think he's going to have a huge game, one way or the other. Either a huge disappointment.
I think
or
the game of the week
success.
Is Tampa Bay against Green Bay. Rodgers against Brady. I'm going to take my man Tom. Yeah.
I got the Packers. I think that, definitely. You know, they're playing very well right now. And, you know,
no.
The Tampa Bay's still not ironed everything out. But later in the year,
I guess
maybe this would be a toss up. But for me right now,
and then
Green
we
Bay's
got,
playing too well.
I got LA over San Francisco.
Yeah, the Niners look like crap right now. They're in a little bit of disarray, and the Rams are doing what the Rams do. So I don't
expect –
I think
they might put up a fight.
Don't expect
a
blowout.
You know,
but
division games are always hard. It's always hard.
Yeah. Well, if C.J. Beathard ends up in this game, it's going to be a blowout.
Then another
he's
really
played
good
2 weeks in a row, man.
Is going to be the Chiefs against the Bills.
Oof, the Chiefs are going to be so pissed after losing to the Raiders, but the Bills are going to be pissed after losing to the Titans. This is going to be an awesome game. It may rival for the game of the week, but I'm taking Mahomes. I don't think they're going to lose this one. Josh Allen needs to play better than he did against the Titans, and he might get a little bit fatter against the Chiefs defense, even though it's not that bad.
But
the Chiefs are going to take this one.
I got the Chiefs, but Buffalo plays defense. They do. They play defense. So I think it's gonna be closer than people are gonna give it credit for. I know Kansas City's coming off of a tough loss, but Buffalo's legit. And then the last game is
Well, there's a lot of injuries with Buffalo though. You gotta be concerned about that on the offensive side of the ball.
Okay.
They might not be able to keep
Arizona taking out beating Dallas. It's just because they can't stop them. They're not gonna be able to stop them.
No, it's going to be a shootout. The Cardinals are taking this game. Like you have way too much talent on that team and a sieve-like defense.
Over
you
under
gotta
five
win game
positive
if you're
COVID tests this week. Yeah, probably. They just had to call
over.
Off the Gators against the Tigers. So, it's probably going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's bound to happen, especially now that you're also letting a limited amount of fans back in the stadium. So, I mean, the players may not get it, but there will be some spread. I mean, it's just bound to happen, unfortunately. Welcome to 2020.
It's been 3 years.
We can't get out of this
in
year
2020.
Christ almighty, you know, that is truer words have never been spoken. Well, this has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thank you for getting faded with us. If you would like to be part of the show, email us at faderoutemail@gmail.com.
We love our fans.
Feedback,
we love our
comments,
sponsors.
Your
support
picks.
Our sponsors.
Let us know. We love our fans. Support
yeah,
our sponsors
absolutely.
And keep the lights on.
For all
us.
Right. Till next time.
Until next time, brothers. Another good one. And we'll talk to you soon.